We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
On today's episode of the Pride Podcast, we have the Detroit Lions 53-man roster part two. And we're going to talk about the defensive side of the ball today and special teams. All in episode 190 of the Pride Podcast.
Blue Wire.
With the seventh pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Penei Sewell, tackle, Oregon.
He's going to run it straight in. Jared Goff.
Carr gets down. Detroit Lions. T.J. Hockenson.
Yes.
They did it. They tied it. They're an extra point away from winning this game. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Yep. All right, and we are back for part two of our Detroit Lions 53-man roster. I'm going to break down the defense side of the ball and special teams. Enjoy.
Okay. Let's get to this defensive line now. So on the defensive line, you got Michael Brockers, Aleem McNeil, Deshaun Hand, Nick Williams, Levi Otorike, John Pennacini, Kevin Strong. Start off with you, Peter. Any shock here?
Not a shock, but like we didn't see much from Pennacini. Seems like the Lions liked what they saw from him at camp. So he made the roster, the rest. Not really a shock. Even Pennacini, he's a talented kid, so they want that backup nose tackle because that's what he pretty much is.
Yeah.
And he was pretty good in his rookie year.
Yeah. It's a solid production. Yeah, I mean, overall, like, all these guys were, I would say, expected. I think we had some conflicting thoughts maybe after the Steelers game when, like, Nick Williams was hurt and coming off COVID. We thought maybe he could be one of those guys that was out the doors. Pennacini just wasn't really playing. We thought maybe one of these young guys like Bruce Hector or, you know, I threw out the scenario. Miles Brown steps in, big
61.
You know, maybe he steps up for another game. Maybe he makes it a little interesting, but just didn't really have a great game versus the Colts. So I think this was the expected group going into the season. Like, if we were to predict probably all the way back in, like, May or June, this would probably be the seven guys we would predict right now.
Probably.
And we thought, you know, with the injuries, maybe those guys could make it a little interesting. But, you know, I think those guys proved that they're probably not 53-man roster ready right now. And, you know, those guys are maybe more developmental pieces on the practice squad. And maybe one day they could be special pieces for the Lions going forward. We'll see.
Then you also don't forget, Deshaun Cornell is on suspended list. He could come back week four, I believe.
Four, yep. He's suspended for the first three games, so he doesn't count the roster right now.
So, wow. How many guys we have on the defensive line right now?
You have seven, but, like, seven? Say you have an injury week three, hopefully not, knock on wood. Like,
yeah,
week four,
so
Cornell comes back.
Okay.
I want to talk about a guy real quickly because this guy is starting to slowly become a great story right now. That's Kevin Strong, man. Kevin Strong is coming to a story, man. A kid from a small school, didn't really have much of a shot. This is now his third year in the NFL, guys. Like, that is insane. And I thought, you know, maybe with the new regime coming in, I didn't know what his chances were going to be with Kevin Strong making this team. But this guy comes in. I think even on the Inside the Den little episode, he kind of stepped in for a little more as a leader. You know, you saw he was mic'd up for that game. I think he's coming a little more on this leader on the defensive line, more in defense in general. So, I mean, kudos to Kevin Strong, man. Phenomenal story. Very happy for him. He really earned his roster this year because he played his ass off in the preseason.
Could you say he had a strong preseason?
cliche ass out of here with that.
I agree with you, man, because Kevin Strong was a guy who I used to joke about, like PFF gave him what score? Like, I used to joke about it, like, a 90, 90 doing what? What 90? Remember those days? Like, you'd be like, he got a 90? How the hell did he get a 90?
He still didn't deserve that 90, but yeah.
But, man, like, we used to make fun of this guy. But look at him, man. I mean, if you look at that preseason performance on the defensive line, stands out, he probably was the best guy. Not taking it from Aleem, because if you watched Aleem McNeil, he was being double-teamed every single play.
The rook.
Which was crazy. As a rookie, he was getting double-teamed every single play.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, but as far as, like, standouts, like, from the eye test, Kevin Strong, like, hands down, was the best defensive lineman on our team in the preseason.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's the thing with Aleem, too. You double-team Aleem McNeil, it opens up the edges for Flowers and O'Clara, and then whoever's inside, whether it's Brackers, Williams, Hand, Levi.
Yeah, I'm not sure they were game planning, and that's why he did it. Was crazy because, like, right, every single play was a center and a guard. Center, he saw the center and guard every single play.
Yep.
He's a big fucker.
We
said that when we drafted him. Like, he's going to be what you wanted. I mean, he's going to be what, like, Snacks was for you, you know, his first year. I'm not going to say the same production, but, like, he's going to be a guy that's going to eat those tackles. They call him a disruptor, and then he's going to free up, like Pierre said, you know, whoever's next to him in the three tech, if that's Underike, if that's Williams, if that's Hand, Brockers, whoever it may be, or your edge rushers, your Flowers, your Romeo, your Austin Bryant, Julian Acquara, whoever's on the field. That's what McNeil's going to do. He's going to be a disruptor. He's going to eat the blocks. He's never going to show up on the stat sheet, but he's going to be a big fucker. He's going to make some disruption. So,
and like, the opposite with Snacks, though, he could also, like, he's a three-down player, in my opinion. Snacks was a two-down player. McNeil could rush the passer. Yeah, he could rush the passer.
Let me ask a really cool question regarding the defensive line, like, as far as, like, the starters, the projected starters. Because we have Aleem McNeil. We know he's going to be the nose tackle. Yeah, Michael Brocker is going to be, you know, defensive end. And then you have Nick Williams. They're projecting Nick Williams to be the starter. How do you feel about that lineup? Like, where do you see Aleem as far as his role on the defensive line?
He's just starting nose tackle.
Levi. I'm sorry, Levi.
I think, well, like, he was dealing with a back injury. I think Levi will slowly take a job away from Nick Williams.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Okay, so you see him, like, mid-season?
As long as Underike is healthy and he's progressing, yeah.
Yeah, or if he, like, just goes off, like, tears it apart, let's say in week one or week two. I can see him week three or week four starting. Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked.
Okay.
I think something to mention with this group as well, Deshaun Hand is also a guy that's been kind of rumored to be on IR right now. So that should also be a roster spot. So don't think the Lions will be adding anyone else to the defensive line. That'd be a little bit of a surprise if they promote anyone from the practice squad or if they sign somebody. So I think going into week one, it'll probably be six guys. So Brockers, McNeil, Williams, Underike, Pennacini, Strong. So, but that, and that's fine as well because seven's a lot too. So you're not going to activate all these guys on game day. So,
yeah,
we'll see. Okay, let's go into outside linebackers / edges, whatever the hell you want to call them. So we got Trey Flowers, we got Romeo Okwara, we got Julian Okwara, got Austin Bryant, and Charles Harris ended up making this 53-man roster. So, let's start off with you, Malcolm. Charles Harris made the 53-man roster. What's your thoughts?
Kudos to him, man. And I he was one of those guys who I wasn't 100% sure if he was going to be able to get in just because of, you know, I guess, like, the 53-man roster. Like, are they going to keep that many outside linebackers? But he deserves it, man. He had a really strong camp, really good preseason. And he's a good guy that, you know, he's going to be a really solid depth piece for that those edge rushers.
Right.
I think it's going to be it. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to just say, like, the guy who I'm really, really, really surprised for and happy is Austin Bryant.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's a guy who I didn't – before we went into camp, I said that he needed to stay healthy to save his job.
And he ended up on pup list the first week.
Ended up on pup list the first week. You know, I gave him hell. I was like, yo, why are you on the pup list? You shouldn't be here because you want to be on this team. And he came out and he balled out all three preseason games. So,
Yeah. Kudos to him, man.
I think it's going to be interesting now because we mentioned our last green room. If, you know, Julian Aquara is still really raw right now. And what is his role going to be year one? Or at least just going into the first couple weeks. What's his role going to be into the first couple weeks? So we were thinking maybe do you carry both Harris and Bryant just to maybe give a little more patience with Julian Aquara, let him develop on the practice, you know, not on the practice squad, but on, you know, in practice instead of game days. So it's going to be interesting. Maybe if Aquara is one of those healthy scratches for the first couple games or just the first game in general, we'll take week by week. But I think that's going to be interesting to monitor with this outside linebackers because I don't see where you activate all five guys on game day. That just seems kind of meaningless to me, honestly, because that's just too many. You don't need five guys on game day. So we'll see if it's Aquara or they end up making it Harris or Bryant. But I think it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be interesting between Harris and Julian Aquara.
Yeah. So at first I had Charles Harris, and then I heard Campbell speak highly of him. Then I was like, all right, I don't want to take him out, but I said, I'll have Bryant in my next production. And then the game came, and Harris and Bryant both balled out. So in my head, I'm like, you know what? They're both going to make the team because this is cliche, but you can never have too many pass rushers on your football team.
Oh, yeah. That is true. One of these guys goes down, you want one of these guys to step up. And, you know, you have some injury history a lot with this edge rusher group right now. These outside linebackers got Flowers, who's missed some games. Julian missed some games last year. We don't need to talk about Austin Bryant, but he's missed a lot of games, obviously. Yeah. So, I mean, there's been some injury histories within this group. So, like, the only guy who's been proven to stay healthy is Romeo Aquara. So, right. You know, you can never have enough assurance as well. So, Charles Harris, you know, it'd been interesting if he ended up hitting the waiver claims if someone claimed him, because you mentioned it. It's hard to get edge rushers. And when you kind of have them, you kind of got to just stick with them, right?
Harris would have been a vested veteran, by the way. But, yeah, I agree.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, he would have been released.
And Julian, Austin Bryant, if they were released, they would have been subject to waivers.
Julian would have been picked up immediately just for his raw talent.
Probably.
Immediately.
Yeah. I mean, just for the raw talent alone.
This is Luke Rosa of the Cleveland Browns. Hi, Ohio for Cleveland.
Being a Lions fan isn't always the easiest. But hey, you know who has it just as bad as us? The Browns. On Blue Wire's new podcast, Brownstown, Cleveland sports broadcaster and long life fan Andre Knott dives deep into the dog pound to explain how a franchise can suck for so long in a league designed for parody. If tragedy plus times equals comedy, the Browns are gut-blessing hilarious. Hear from the famous and infamous voices of Cleveland Browns like Jim Donovan, Brady Quinn, Tim Couch, Romeo Cannell, Josh Cribbs, TJ Ward, Phil Savage, and many, many more. The fans themselves explain what it's like to sit through the worst bits of Brown history. Make sure to tune in to Brownstown on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go into inside linebackers. We got Jamie Collins, Alex Anzalone, Derek Barnes, Jalen Pittman, and Anthony Pittman, Wayne State University.
Yes, sir.
That's a Pierce school as well. So Anthony Pittman making this team. Other four we expected, but real quickly on Pittman, you put him in your last predictions, Pierce. So I'm assuming not too much surprise for you. But
no.
The story of Jelaine Tavai, we're not going to celebrate here because we're respectful people. But Jelaine Tavai has been released by the Detroit Lions. And do you guys know where Jelaine Tavai is signed? Could you take a guess?
I'll say the
Kansas City Chiefs.
What's that one team in Boston called again? Like they won a couple Super Bowls.
Celtics. Oh, wait, we said Super Bowls.
Oh. I'm gonna say the
Patriots.
The Rocket Ship Moon team.
Okay. Well, cut the bullshit. He went to the New England.
All right, Patriots. I'll just decide. Yeah, bro, they're about to ask him to get that weight back on. So he worked all his ass off getting that weight off. He's about to put that weight back on.
That's ridiculous.
I gotta say, you like some In-N-Out, you like some Jack in the Box.
They don't have that. No, they don't have that. The East Coast.
Oh, is that just a West Coast thing? Oh man. Okay. Think about the McChickens will get the job done. Noah.
I wonder how he feels about that.
That's
he's going to a place where he's wanted, right? He knows Patricia. Patricia wanted him. They drafted him. So he's going to a place, and the New England Patriots had an interest in him pre-draft as well. So he's going to a place where he's wanted.
I mean, I know, like, you don't feel bad for him, but, like, I mean, the coaching staff, like, this new coaching staff probably put him through hell. Like, oh, you got to lose some weight. Maybe you got some speed in you.
They gave him every chance to make the roster. They literally did. They even praised him. They're like, we think this guy could be good. They tried everything with him.
Try to put some confidence into him. But then they tried. But now he's just going back to his previous system, just where he has to put all that weight back on.
I know he's probably like inside. He's like, man, because I heard he was running like 4 or 5 miles per day.
Yeah. And now he's just that weight back on. Most likely. I mean, that's just the system they run in New England. Like,
yeah, they got like big linebackers.
You can't get away with what he was at right now in Detroit.
Wow.
Yeah.
What? Tavai. Jelaine Tavai.
That's the last you'll ever see him in a Detroit uniform.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
No, okay. I mean, there's no hopefully. He's gone, guys. He's not coming back. He's done.
I mean, shit. We brought back Dan Skipper. I think anything is possible at this moment. If you could bring back Dan Skipper, anything is possible.
And one thing I don't like, too, is a lot of people are compared to Kyle Van Noy. Van Noy was athletic, dude. Like, Tavai has no athleticism to
Calvin,
his team. So.
Calvin Noy? Who the hell compared to
like
Calvin Noy?
Like people are saying, oh, they went to the Patriots, and this guy's going to be a star for the Patriots or whatever. Remember Calvin Noy was kind of like that?
Calvin Noy, this was his downfall in Detroit. He was drafted. He was a 3-4 linebacker.
He wasn't a scheme fit.
And exactly. He wasn't a scheme fit. But there was like maybe they could, because what's his name was also wasn't a scheme fit for, who's your that linebacker from Minnesota that you always like? Anthony Barr. He's not technically, you know, he came out of college as a 3-4 linebacker as well. So, but they put
Minnesota
him inside and it worked out. It worked out, you know?
Yeah, they know how to use
so
him.
So, it didn't work out on Detroit. It wasn't a scheme fit. So, that, but Tavai is just.
No, like, people think like Belichick's going to develop him into a starter. Like, bro,
well, people feel like that with anybody. Oh, yeah, when you have a Detroit Lion player and they go somewhere else, they become stars.
Especially New England, because Bill Belichick's known for making players that are, what do they call it, water out of wine. Is that the cliche they use in New England?
I mean, he does, man. More power to him, man. I don't hate the guy. I mean,
it's not his fault where he got drafted.
Was it his fault? I tell people all the time. You blame Pencilhead and Bobby.
Yeah, blame Bob Quinn and Patricia. That's not on Jelaine Tavai. Like, he got drafted at this spot. What's he gonna say? No, I don't want to play there. Like, that's not gonna happen.
Shocked the hell out of him too. He probably wasn't even watching TV at that time.
Yeah, he probably was ready for day three.
He probably was.
Oh my god. Okay, but I mean, I don't know, man.
Pittman, all right, enough with Tavai.
Anthony Pittman makes the team over Jelani Tavai. Do you guys think Pittman sticks around, like at least for the week one initial roster?
He was good on special teams, and he also showed he could tackle too. Like he showed some potential. Was that the last game where he literally hammered a dude?
Yep.
Versus the Colts. He showed a little speed too. Like he showed some potential. I think Moy's going to start more off special teams, and he's like an emergency linebacker, if you want to say that.
Yeah, Pittman, he changed his position too because in the previous regime, he was more of an outside linebacker, more of an edge guy, and now they moved him more inside. And I remember even Pittman said himself, like, he just feels more natural at the inside more than the outside. So, and I think it showed. I think his game looked better in the inside. I'm not going to say he looked like a major better player than what we've seen out of him in the past, but I think he looked better in his new role on the inside. I think he's more of a natural inside linebacker, and he proved that. So, you know, kudos to Anthony Pittman for making the team. Hometown kid from he went to Wayne State University. I don't remember what high school he went to, but yeah, hometown kid. So
Birmingham Groves, I believe.
Okay, yeah. So that's obviously got to be just. I think he even said himself, like, it just still such a disbelief when he puts that Lions uniform on. Like, it's such an honor for him because obviously that's a team he probably grew up watching and. Now he plays for them. Like, that's just unbelievable.
So, you're repping your city. Like, you can't beat that as an athlete. When you rep your city, like, you always rep your city, but when you're repping your city on a jersey, too.
Yeah. When you're playing for your hometown, man, in the NFL, the highest level, that's some king shit right there.
That's awesome. Yeah. Just in general, playing NFL is awesome, but when you're playing for your hometown team
that you grew up watching, awesome, man. So,
I'm not going to lie, man. I, as far as, like, this roster, like, Anthony Pittman making the team, I'm a little shocked. Just a little.
I was too. I didn't put him on my last one. I put him in the one before, but I didn't put him on my last one either.
And it's not a knock on Anthony, you know, it's not a knock on him. I think he had a solid camp, and I think he played well. I didn't expect him to take five inside linebackers.
I thought they would take five. I thought maybe you'd just get another guy from a different organization, honestly.
You thought it was going to be another guy?
I thought they were going to use a claim.
I honestly thought it was going to be four. I thought it was going to be the Jamie Anzalone.
Lonnie Barnes and Maven.
Yeah. That's why I didn't have him in mind. But kudos to him, man. He had a strong camp.
Yeah. So
that's like really like if you do that with the linebackers, that's really like I told Tyler we were recording the show too. The Lions just didn't have another linebacker and I had to make it because there was like no depth. Like you're only rolling with Reeves Maven because Barnes is going to see some play too. Reeves Maven as like your backup, you need depth. So,
yeah. So
they decided to keep five and they decided to make it Pittman because they didn't claim any linebackers. So it seems like Pittman's going to be here for at least a little bit, you know, at least going into week one. And we'll see what, you know, his role ends up being in the season if he's a guy that they're going to, you know, treasure and try to keep in the roster or, you know, we'll see. So Pittman's on the 53 going into the season though right now. So congratulations to Anthony Pittman. All right, let's talk about the corners, man. This is a young youth, a lot of youth here in this position right here at the cornerback position. So you got Jeff Okuda, Amani Oruwariye, Ifeatu Melifonwu, A.J. Parker, Bobby Price, Jerry Jacobs. So two undrafted free agents from this class. Brad Holmes' undrafted free agent class make the 53-man roster. A.J. Parker and Jeff Okuda's buddy, Jerry Jacobs, kind of took him under his wing in camp, and he ends up making the 53-man roster. So I'm going to start off with you, Malcolm, man. A.J. Parker, we expected that. But Jerry Jacobs making the 53-man roster?
Did not expect that at all.
Yeah.
I didn't even see this coming. Did any guys have him in your 53?
No. Nope.
But I see what the Lions are doing, though. Like, Mike Ford is going to be a free agent next year. Like, we probably won't bring him back. So let's roll with the young guys. And, like, the early reports out of camp was Jerry Jacobs and A.J. Parker. Those two kids have just been, like, outstanding, like, for undrafted kids.
Yeah.
So the Lions were like, you know what? Let's focus on – because this year's a rebuilding year. Let's focus on developing these young guys versus keeping a Mike Ford who probably won't be here next year.
The thing that would just be scary to me, like, what if we suffer, like, enough injuries that these guys actually have to play?
No, they'll play. They are
no, going to no, play. No. I mean, like really play. play.
I mean,
like,
AJ
like starting play.
AJ no, Parker's going to start.
Parker,
he showed. I think that's more about Bobby Price and Jerry Jacobs.
Yeah, Parker showed he can play in his preseason. Like, he played phenomenal in the preseason. So I'm not AJ Parker. He looked like he's going to be one of those undrafted guys that look like maybe a steal that you go talk about down the line. Like, wow, this guy was actual steal, you know?
Yeah.
But the guys I'm concerned about is the Jacobs and Price.
Price is more special teams. He's like your starting gunner.
I know, but what I'm saying is like how scary it is if they're like
play corner.
Really have to play like oh that'll shit, like oh shit, Amani and Iffy's out. We have to play
even Iffy, man. Like Iffy was supposed to be the developmental piece as well.
But like, bro, the thing with Iffy though, he's exceeded my expectations already.
Yeah,
like he's looked a lot better than I thought he would.
Yeah,
we're really young at corner. It's a bit concerning. Like this is the, I'll say out of the defense, this is I would say is the weak link right now, which is crazy because it's supposed to be our strength, according to Pencilhead. yeah, I look at this as our weak link right now. It's the secondary right now with the corners and, but. I'll say this. There's a chance that we could be good. And the reason why I say that is because we might have something that we haven't seen since Pencilhead got here, which is a pass rush. We were able to put pressure on a quarterback. Maybe our corner's able to look better. You know? Yeah. So let's see what happens.
When you have young DBs too, they're going to make mistakes. You just want to see them correct them, and no person better for the job than AG, Aaron Glenn, and Aubrey Pleasant. They both worked with the young Saints guns. They worked with the young Rams guys. Pleasant took Jalen Ramsey's game to the next level, which was unreal. So it'll be fun to see what they can do with these young guys. And Pleasant, I think, if you want to say right now, is the most important coach on Detroit's roster, it's probably Glenn and Pleasant, like assistant-wise.
Yeah, because all the other guys, you got good veterans at each position. Yeah. With this one, Aaron Glenn is your veteran at this point, honestly. Like, I know he's a coach, he's a defensive coordinator, but like...
Pleasant, yeah.
I think Aaron Glenn, just with like how good of a player he was, I think he deserves that respect. I think Glenn and Pleasant are your veterans right now in the DB's room. They're players. Like, but like, I think they're your veterans right now.
Yeah, your leader right now in the room is Dean Marlowe. We'll get into that later, but he's the oldest guy in the secondary room, the DB's room, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, the oldest corner is Amani Arroyo, which is absolutely insane. He's only 25 years old, so he's the oldest corner on this active roster right now.
So, we're going to see some mistakes with these guys, with all of the guys, all the young guys. But the thing is, how do they develop from that? How do they correct those mistakes? That's because whenever you have a young roster, you're going to see a ton of mistakes on the field. There's inexperience. Like, it's how they grow and develop from that.
Growing pains.
Yep. Growing pains. Yeah. And young guys.
I think what's interesting, though, is, we always say, like, outside of quarterback and maybe even offensive tackle, cornerback's the hardest position to translate to the NFL. And you got four guys who are essentially new to the NFL. Like, Ifeatu Melifonwu, brand new. AJ Parker, brand new. Bobby Price, I mean, like, I know he was with the NFL team. He was with the practice squads, but brand new basically to the NFL action, right? Jerry Jacobs, brand new. And I think you could even make an argument. Jeff Okuda's still pretty brand new to all this as well. Yeah. So, like, outside of Amani Arroyo, and even he, like, he's kind of, like, brand new to all this. But, like, you know, he's more groomed to this right now at this point. But you got five guys that are, you can make an argument, that, like, are just brand new to this right now.
Yeah.
And you're counting on them for some big-time play right now.
You are. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's tough. It's tough. Yeah.
I was a bit shocked they put it.
It's very exciting, though. It's honestly, when you on paper, it looks tough, but when you think about it, the potential of this group and how they could grow together, it's really exciting. Okuda and Amani and Parker, those guys could be your starters for years to come. They're all like younger, like 25 or younger, right? Yeah. So you envision that for the next 4 or 5 years, those guys growing together and becoming good. That's exciting when you think about that.
It is exciting. I'm going to say this again. And I don't want, I mean, I think we should have a pass rush because of the way they look and they were able to get after the quarterback in preseason. But if that pass rush is not there, my Lord.
Oh, that's going to be rough. It's going to be
rough. It's going to be there. It's going to be there.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be more there than I think what we've seen in the last couple of years.
No, the D-line's a strength of this team right now. I don't think we've ever said this. We've said this in a minute.
from preseason, and I'm not going to, I don't want to jump too much into it until I see it. Because I'm telling you, like, even with negative, even if it's positive, I would still want to see it. They look good as far as scheming, getting up to the quarterback in the preseason. I just really hope that it translates to the regular season. And I hope they just could get out there, put pressure on the quarterback. And I just hope they're able to do that because, shit, if not.
These corners need him.
If not, man, it's going to be really bad.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because you don't have a Darius Slay there anymore.
We don't have a guy that could cover like that.
Yeah.
Too long.
I agree.
And Jeff is improving, but you can't count on Jeff to cover these guys.
No one could cover that. Would that no corner in the league could cover that long? Jalen.
But I'm saying. I think I know what he's saying though. It's like that. These guys are gonna definitely need a pass rush because
we need a strong pass rush.
Oh yeah, you're young, of course. Corners need a young pass rush.
Yeah, we need a strong pass rush.
Even the pass rush is young too.
Yeah. But you got more veterans on there.
You got some vets, yeah. You do
like on your outside linebackers, you got Flowers, you got Romeo, you got some even Charles Harris to a certain degree is a veteran now. It's a bit different with this group.
It's a mixture. D-line's a mixture.
Let me ask you a question. I know you guys are concerned about the wide receiver death and the linebacker death, but how do you guys feel? Are you guys concerned about the cornerback death? I'm more scared about the cornerback death than any other position right now.
So I'll say this. I'm going to use the same thing I just said about receivers early on in the episode. If we could look by the end of the season, say, hey, we got a couple guys that I think we could build off, like Akuda, Amani, and Melifonwu, and Parker, whatever that may be, I'll be satisfied. I think I'm more confident in this group to have some more guys stand out than the receivers right now. But the same narrative goes on with the corners and what I said about the receivers. If I could get, because they're so inexperienced and some young guys, but if I could have some guys step up and say, hey, I could look at these guys and say, hey, man, we could build around these guys. I want to see that this year with these corners and say, A.J. Parker, hey, that could be my starting nickel corner going forward. Or Melifonwu, hey, that could be a starting outside corner or wherever you want to put him. So I just want to see some, development and growth with this group going on, for the year.
I think that's going to be there. As far as, a building blocks is what you're talking about, I think that's going to be there.
Yeah, I just want to see that growth.
What I'm saying is, can they afford an injury compared to other positions? I remember you guys were saying, if one of the linebackers get hurt, we're fucked. Which I think will kind of be okay because he just insert Derek Barnes and just give him, a bigger role. But, now you're talking about the cornerback position. Just say
Jeff Okuda. Or Jerry Jacobs in there.
If Jeff Okuda gets hurt, are you putting in –
probably be iffy right now.
You putting in iffy?
I mean, not putting
in how confident do you feel like that as him being a starter right now?
There's a lot of inexperience, bro.
Isn't it what that scares me more than our linebacker position or even our wide receiver position, if you ask me.
Honestly, the team in general, they're really, really young at every position. You look at every position, there's a lot of young guys. Maybe tight end, that's it. But other than that, there is so many young guys in depth, on the depth of this team. So they're going to focus on developing. If a guy goes down, yeah, they're going to play the young guy. They're not going to go out and sign a free agent to start. They want their guys to develop and grow.
Yeah,
that's what they want. They want to put them in there if there's an injury.
At the end of the day, it's wins and losses. I'm not trying to bring this loser mentality on the team right now, but wins and losses this year are just not as important as previous years.
What are you talking about?
yo, so this team reminds me, Tyler brought it up the other day, of the Pistons, right?
It's a young Pistons. You just want to see development. Wins and losses, they'll come. They'll come.
Like Sadiq Bey, Isaiah Stewart last year. You had Killian Hayes. You got other guys step up
Frank
Josh
Jackson. Who the hell is Frank Jackson? Yeah,
Hami Diallo, right? If the Lions can have their Hami Diallos, Frank Jacksons, Josh Jacksons, come out of nowhere, develop players.
I think they're going to get
I think they have some young, unproven talent on that team that has potential, for sure.
But why can't they just be like my Knicks? I had zero expectation for my Knicks.
Your Knicks had...
Your Knicks go out and
we had nobody.
They brought a different approach though. They brought a coach that was ready to win. They brought in a whole different.
We have a coach that's ready to win.
No, the Lions gave Dan Campbell a 6-year deal.
Dan Campbell's not here. You got a process here. It's with Thibodeau, they were trying to take the next step. It's different.
I don't want to talk too much about the Knicks, but I'm gonna tell you now. I had zero going to that season, going to last season. You guys saw me. What expectations did I have for that team?
I know. You had nothing, but I'm saying...
Nothing. Zero. You guys are like, look at... Oh, you picked up this guy in free. I was like, man, whatever.
It's different, though. What Campbell and Holmes are doing right now, this is the start of a rebuild. What the Knicks and Thibodeau were doing, they were trying to do something more than just get a rebuild going.
Well, I mean, they had a breakout person. They had Julius Randle break out to become an all-star. Who's seen that coming?
In basketball and football, it takes like in basketball, it takes one or two guys that you could be a good team in basketball. In football, it's
was just making up the comparison, like they're going to lose, but they're going to be fun to watch kind of thing.
That's what I think they are going to be. I think they're going to be really
fun. They're going to lose, but be fun to watch. Man, yeah, that's possible.
Dude, they're young. If you come in and expect 7 to 9, 10 wins or whatever, you got to lower your expectations. This is the second youngest team in the NFL behind the Jets.
When you lose with veterans, that's not fun. That's just
that's the shit with Patricia and Stafford and all that, right? But when you have all these young guys and unproven guys, guys who are hungry, Jared Goff is hungry. Tyrell Williams is hungry.
Roster.
Jeff Okuda is out to prove the haters wrong, right? Tracy Walker wants to bounce back. Will Harris wants to finally play good football. Right? When you look at all those factors, all these guys are hungry. The whole crew is hungry.
But exactly what you said. They're hungry. It's not a setup for success.
Possibly. You might just not be talented right now. I think the Lions are, you're just not there right now.
Who they thought we were.
No, it's not that. Like maybe you want to see what you got and then bring in veterans to fill in those missing holes. That's what the approach I think this year is.
So the approach is this year to develop your young talent. And if you see a lot, see growth and stuff, maybe next year you go out and stop spending top dollar. Or in 2023, you go out and start spending top dollar on top free agents.
Whatever's missing at that point, whoever's not enough.
You saw what Washington did this year. They were weak at receiver. They're weak at corner. They go out, they sign Curtis Samuel. They go out and sign William Jackson. They draft Jamin Davis, need a linebacker. Stuff like that, kind of.
Right now, you're just taking guys who you think have high ceilings and see what you could do with them.
Yeah.
Okay. We got two more groups to talk about. We got safeties. This was no surprise at all. We've been saying this. Tracy Walker, Will Harris, Dean Marlowe, CJ Moore. Dean Marlowe was actually just released. So, Pierre, are we panicking?
That's the player I was talking about earlier with Darren Fells. Marlowe will probably be back on the roster. Right now it's 12 a.m. So later in the day today.
Yeah, technically. Yeah, we're recording at midnight right now. So okay, but yeah, Marlowe will be back with this group. Don't be worried. Don't panic. I know some people
panic. Don't panic.
Okay. Don't
panic.
Just like right now, the initial special teams right now for the Lions was Jack Fox and Scott Daly. They didn't have a damn kicker.
said, both of you got to go.
But then they ended up bringing in Austin Seibert off waivers, former Cincinnati Bengal, but more importantly, former Cleveland Brown, the guy who's in our front office, John Dorsey, one of the big saves in this Lions front office, actually drafted Austin Seibert in the 5th round when he was the general manager in Cleveland. So he's bringing him back to Detroit to be the kicker now. Yep. So they got a familiar connection there. And it looks like that's going to be your starting kicker. Not Randy Bullock, not Zane Gonzalez, not Matthew Wright. Austin Seibert is your starting kicker.
Yeah. I have a question on this.
What's up?
I just thought about this just now as you brought it up. John Dorsey brought him in from Cleveland. Yes. Wasn't he completely terrible in Cleveland?
Not really. So he was, in his first year, he was 25 of 29. In his second year, he was just 0 for 1. I think he got hurt or they released him. And then he went to Denver and he was 6'4"8. Or he went to Cincinnati, I'm sorry, and he was 6'4"8. So in his career, he's 31 for 38. So he wasn't necessarily bad. 81.6 percentage. That's actually above average or pretty good in the NFL. 81.6.
And from what I was reading about him is that he was having a solid camp, but they just drafted a guy that was just better. So
that was
the reason why he left Cincinnati, but that's interesting, man. I want to see more about him. I want to know, does he have, a big leg? Do you know anything like that?
See Jack Shetty, our Cougars, originally, so.
He have it. So. In preseason, I was pissed, man, because the only thing I saw was a 28-yard field goal.
Malcolm, I'm going to be honest. I don't know if he has a big leg or not, but we'll find out versus the Niners or versus the Packers. We'll find out.
I mean, at least, we do have a kicker in the practice squad, so if he doesn't work, we could just probably give him the boot and
you could always steal guys from different practice squads.
Yeah,
there's always kickers available. I mean, you don't want to be in this predicament where you're shuffling kickers.
That's not good.
No, you don't. Because kickers are really, really important. So you don't want to be in a predicament. So
I'm hoping this guy works out.
Yeah, so you
guys hoping it's working out?
Hopefully the plan is Seibert, but if he you know, he's no lock by any means. Like, if Prater has one bad week, the Lions, like, you know, he's going to be safe. But if Austin Seibert has a couple bad weeks,
shit.
You're out. You're done.
Let me ask you,
I mean, he's only entering his third year in the NFL, so he's pretty young.
Like, a realistic expectation, like, do you think, like, he will last as far as our kicker?
If he plays how he played in his rookie year with the Browns, yes. 25 of 29, yeah.
Potential. I think he's a potential to last. I'm not going to say yes or no he's going to last, but, you know, I'm not, you know, connected or locked in with Cyber. Like, if he's bad, you're done. But
yeah,
if you could show me some, you know, you could be a consistent kicker for my team, okay, we'll give you a chance. Maybe we'll give you another contract.
Dorsey's guy. Hopefully he's
just like
confident.
Jack Fox. Exactly last year with the punt situation, like Jack Fox. Like, okay, you won the battle to camp with Aaron Tipos, but show me what you could do. Jack Fox made everyone shut the hell up and said, here, this is what I could do.
Yo,
so, I don't even think that got
close. Like, the Lions kept saying it was close or whatever. I was like, there's no way this is close. Jack Fox destroyed him.
Yeah, they said it was close.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if you watch the regular season, it's like, how was it close?
Yeah.
Aaron Tipos is not on a team. If it was close, Aaron Tipos should be on a team right now.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, I don't know. Maybe it was close. I don't know. But,
and Cyber could also punt as well. So that's like,
yeah,
another thing.
If Jackie Poo goes down, so.
don't say that. Knock on wood, man.
Jackie Poo. You see his video of him kicking field goals?
Oh, yeah, my God. Let's hope that doesn't happen.
Field goals? He hears them.
I hope that doesn't happen.
He was consistent. He was consistent on what was he, going right or left? I don't remember, but.
Right.
He was going consistent. But.
Yeah, that, more power to him, man. That kudos to him for even at least showing that. I would have had that shit buried. Nobody would see that shit.
So, yeah.
I would take that shit to the grave with me. You know, no, what field goal? I ain't miss no field goal. Crazy.
All right. So right now, just to get a quick recap, the Lions roster is at 51 right now, and it'll be at 53 by the time you're listening to this.
It's actually at 53 right now.
How? Marlowe and Fells.
Yeah, but they brung in to replace those guys. Oh, they brung in Hodge and Cyber.
Right. I just always assume people don't count against the roster. You're right. It is at 53 right now. Technically 51 because Hand and Boyle will be on IR, but that just means Boyle, or that means Fells and Marlowe just step in for that spot. We're going to see if there's any other, you know, more unexpected moves, because Boyle and Hand are the consensus guys going on IR. We're going to see, because the Lions practice squad, you're allowed to have 16 guys. There is some outside noise that they signed 3 guys from outside organizations.
That aren't official. Yeah.
Yeah, they aren't official. So they got 15 guaranteed right now, which would open up one guy from a different organization, but you have 2 guys. So it makes you think, is there going to be more IR news, or are they going to release some guys off the practice squad and bring these guys from outside organizations? We'll see tomorrow. That's going to be more to be answered. So,
should we go over the practice squad? I literally have it right here in front of me.
Yeah,
go ahead, name them, man.
So the first signing they actually announced. Well,
hold up. Who was the first signing? Who was the first signing?
Yo, I joked on Twitter and I was like, I know Tyler's doing backflips right now.
There was no joking around.
Number 61.
It was Miles Brown, and then the rest, I don't know if they're in order or not, but I have them here. Steven Montez, Sage Surratt, Nickel Roby Coleman. So I made a mistake. I said Dean Marlowe was the oldest in the DB's room. Technically, Nickel Roby Coleman is the oldest in the DB's room. He's on the practice squad, but I wouldn't be shocked if he's promoted on week one and then they sign him so his contract isn't guaranteed, basically. I wouldn't be shocked if he's on the roster. Dave Briquette mentioned that, so... you got Tavante Beckett, Campbell loves. He said, like, if they could develop him this year on the practice squad, they could see him contributing possibly next year. Craig Reynolds, the favorite running back of the fans, Netflix. Fan favorite. Yep, Netflix. Rashad Berry. They basically replaced Rashad Berry and Tavai. So Rashad Berry's with the Patriots. Tavai was with us. Detroit signed Rashad Berry, like, a few weeks ago. So they basically, like, replaced him. Think about that. Sort of. Jaylen Elliott, really good on special teams. Maybe they're working on developing his defense on the practice squad. Kicker Zane Gonzalez, we talked about it. And defense tackle Bruce Hector. He would have made the Lions roster in previous years. Now they're talented, he didn't make it. So
I'm glad they kept him around, though.
Yeah, me too. Guard Tommy Kramer, he showed some potential, like, later.
Kramer.
Yep. Alize Mack. wide receiver Javon McKinley. Now, I could see McKinley kind of being like a Trinity kid. Like, he'll be on practice squad a year or two, and maybe he could go off.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. I was high on McKinley when he came out. Running back Dedrick Mills, he actually had a good camp too, but just the depth at running back was deep. Brock Wright showed up a little on that last game. Darren Paulo improved as the year went on.
Stop.
As the year went on. I'm sorry. Like, he was solid the last game. He was solid as the preseason went on. Then you have, Shane Zylstra. He's the one who's not officially signed. Jesse Lamania, he's the defensive end from the Chargers. So Samantha Lynn, familiarity right there. He's also not officially signed. So the three official not signed are Zylstra, Montez, and Lamanier. I don't want to say his name. Yeah, so.
So they're going to have to free up some spots somehow.
Two spots on the practice squad. And then
that's promoting some guys with via IR spots. We'll see.
Yeah. So they could release some guys off the practice squad as well. So.
Good. Yep. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Because the Lions only have 15 official guys, which obviously there was technically an open spot right now, but they give it to their guys.
So two guys, like right now, that's to make room for two guys, basically.
We'll see. Yeah, because Montez, you could just say steps into that 16th spot, and then they have to make spots for the other two guys.
Yeah. Tight end and
defensive lineman.
It'll be interesting to see the Lions release of that promote guys from the practice squad, or if they release guys from their practice squad.
I feel like it's good. I feel like it might be some more lingering injuries that we just weren't too concerned about that could be being placed on IR when that opens up tomorrow. So I would say some names to, I don't want to speculate too much, but maybe some names to throw out there just to keep an eye out for, maybe like a Terrell Williams. We'll see after that, because
Logan Stenberg, maybe.
I don't want to speculate too much.
Yeah, I don't want to speculate on injuries,
but we'll see. I mean, I wouldn't be completely shocked if that's what happens. You promote some guys within the practice squad and you play some of your guys on your 53 right now in IR, which if you do it now, it's short term IR. They can return after 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So now, let me ask a quick question regarding the practice squad. Craig Reynolds, you know, he had a pretty nice preseason. Were you guys shocked that we were able to get him back, or did you guys like expect, like, all right?
I expect him to get back, honestly.
I thought he could have gotten claimed, to be honest. Like, the Rams are kind of like short at running back. I thought maybe they'd claim him.
That's possible.
He cleared.
I honestly didn't think he was going to come back, because I thought he did enough to, you know, for tape that, you know, with that preseason to, for a team to, you know, take a look at him. But I guess
Yeah, we forgot to mention this, but Mike Ford did get claimed by the Broncos.
Yep.
So he's going to provide special teams value and corner depth for them.
They are loaded at the secondary position.
They're also dealing with injuries as well. So the secondary. That's what I read. But no, man, I wish Mike Ford good luck. He was a solid player. You're great on special teams. Like, when you needed him to play corner, he was, like, serviceable. I'll say that.
He was, man. I mean, I'm not...
Yeah.
I guess he just wasn't one of the best guys, as Dan Campbell would say.
I think what they did is, like, yo, look. Like, Mike Ford's on a one-year deal, right? He's going to be a free agent next year. We'll bring him back. Probably not. So let's give Jerry Jacobs a chance. Let's give Bobby Price a chance. Let's give Ifeatu Melifonwu his development. He'll play more. I think that's what they thought, like, when they were doing. Because you look at the roster, most of these guys are young. We're the second youngest roster in the league. And the Jets.
Young. Very young. Very, 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 very young. Let me just throw another question out there really quickly. This defense. Do you feel like it's an upgrade from last year's defense? I'm not going to ask about the offense because I already know that we took a major hit offensively.
Yeah.
But the defense, do you feel like this is a major upgrade compared to last year?
Yes. I think they're going to be like in that maybe like 16 to 20 range versus being like in that 28, 29, 30, 31, 32 range.
Praise them. Yes, yes, yes. That's if they do that, I'll be so happy.
That's if they stay healthier.
I just don't think you could get worse than historically worse defense.
Yeah, that defense last year was hitful.
With a defensive guru.
I haven't seen a quarterback had that much time in the pocket. Like the amount of time he had in that pocket was ridiculous.
And these were bad quarterbacks, man. It was like PJ Tucker.
Is it Tucker?
No.
PJ Walker.
That's basketball.
PJ Walker.
PJ Walker.
PJ Tucker.
Like Mitch Trubisky.
Mitch Trubisky.
Sucker got his ring this year, though.
Shout out to sure did. He sure did.
He went to Miami. Went to Malcolm's.
Oh, also, I think that Panthers game with PJ Walker. That's it. It's Walker, right?
Yeah, Walker.
Yeah.
That game would disappoint the hell out of me. I was like, seriously?
So believe it or not, right now he's viewed as the best backup in the league, or one of the top backups in the league. Him and Gardner Minshew. Yeah. Him and Gardner Minshew.
You know, he was in the XFL, right? Was it the XFL he was in? Yep. He was solid. He was okay in the XFL.
He was like the MVP.
Yeah, he was the MVP. I wasn't sure it was going to translate to the NFL like that, but wow. I mean, good kudos to him.
Yeah, the offensive coordinator down there, Joe Brady. He's good with QBs. Joe Burrow.
I remember our episode previewing that Carolina Panthers game, man.
Oh my gosh.
I don't want to go back to that. I just don't think you can get historically worse than that.
I just think Patricia's game plan was awful in that game.
Yeah. Not just that game, but yeah.
Like
it wasn't just that game.
It wasn't just that game, but
I mean, every game was pretty much let's go run the ball and then we'll pass it. Like what?
That's positive, man. Our defense is going to be way better. I'm glad we don't have to deal with that same mess no more.
It's just like
it was so hard to watch, man.
You know, it's like when you get like when you're that bad, anything's gonna be better. But like, what I hope is gonna be like when we say better, like I hope it's actually like better in the NFL standards, not just better from last year. Because like when you say better from last year, like that's nothing. Who cares?
That's still bad. That's still bad.
I want to see like a better defense in general, not just better from last year. You know.
I think their trenches, bro. Like. The pass rush, we saw a lot of flashes in the preseason, even in training camp. You got Romeo Okwara, who's actually going to a staff that actually wants a pass rush. I feel like that's going to take Okwara's game to the next level. Like, remember how Glover Quinn said they taught him to, like, look for the run before playing the pass?
Yeah, yep.
We literally had Glover Quinn tell him what Patricia taught them in practice. And Glover Quinn basically said that didn't make no sense to him, so now we're going to our attacking scheme. Get after the quarterback. You don't think as much. You just go after the quarterback to your job. It's going to be easier on the linebacker and easier on the D-line as well.
I think overall what they're building, it's going to be an overall better product, not just from the previous regime, but just overall better product in the NFL. But I think this year could be more growing pains because we just mentioned that it's a young DB's room. You know, we'll see. I still think it could be like one of the bottom defenses in the NFL, like maybe in that 20 ranges, whatever. Like that's not
it's surprising. Possible.
That's not a knock on it because
no,
the depth
on
it's not great. Like we mentioned, the linebackers, the corners, but I think overall their plan and what they're building, it's going to be good. But right now, year one, you still got a lot of more pieces to go. So I wouldn't be disappointed if it's not the best unit out there, or if it's not even a great unit out there this year. But if we see some progression, you know, just overall, and they look like they could show some talent going forward, then I think, you know, that's something to be happy about going forward.
Bro, what I like is they built from the inside out, like with their draft, basically. You took Penei, you took Levi, you took Aleem McNeil, then you took Barnes, like, in the middle. You took Ifatu before that, right? Focused their first three picks, were all in the trenches.
Yep.
That's how you do it.
That's how you're supposed to do it. Yeah.
Only if Pencilhead would have did that. Like, if you would have realized that's how you build a team. But
and Brad Holmes is gonna have a lot of toys to mess around with next year because he's got a lot of picks next year. So it's gonna be interesting to see.
And I'll say this: the Rams are not scared to trade those picks away.
Brad Holmes is already
the Lions. Right now. Brad Holmes doesn't value draft picks as much as the previous regime did. If they think they can get a player, a really good player for their picks, they love that player. They're going to get that player.
Yeah, I'm down with it.
We saw that. Like, didn't we see that when they trade? Didn't they trade up for Jared Goff?
They traded up for Jared Goff.
Yeah, they traded up
a lot. It wasn't.
They traded for Stafford. They traded for Jalen Ramsey.
Jalen Ramsey.
They made other trades too, right? I just don't know. Yeah, they're aggressive. They're an aggressive team. And it's worked for them.
It hasn't worked yet.
Yeah, we shall see.
You have to win a Super Bowl for that to win.
No, what I'm trying to say is like they haven't been in the bottom league. They're always like one of the best teams.
Oh yeah, recently
they're a good team.
But they went to the Super Bowl like a few years ago.
If they don't win the Super Bowl by the end of like this whole thing, but like this whole window they're building right now,
they'll probably be like
it's gonna be a mess.
But they still like. winning football games. Like, it's impressive what they've done so far.
They got a window right now, but they could be looking at a long rebuild as well for how for how much they invested. But it gave them a good, you know, it gave them a good share of football. And if you end up winning, I think it's worth it.
So what is your guys' overall thoughts on this roster right now? This is 53.
It's not great, but you know, it's just all about development this year. Like, I'm not concerned about wins and losses. Like, the Lions are not going to piss me off this year unless I see something like obvious like that. It has to piss me off. But like, I don't think I'm going to be pissed off this year.
It has to be like a pencil head move.
It's got to be like something where like players just don't look bought in and they just look like they're giving up. Like, if it ever gets to that point, we'll have different topics at this point. But at this point, I just want to see guys fight, and I think that's what they're going to be. They're going to be a chippy team that's going to be fighting every week. It might not result to wins every week, but just a team that's going to be competitive, be chippy. That's all I want.
What's your thoughts on this roster, Pierre? Final 53.
They're young. I don't think they really have like a superstar, or like, by superstar, I don't mean like the trenches. I mean like on like a wide receiver or like a like corner. Like, they don't really have a difference maker.
Maybe the only guy is Hockenson. Yeah.
Maybe Hockenson's your only difference maker.
Some guys like, on the offensive line, like,
yeah, and potentially like Jeff Okuda, maybe, right? Maybe.
Well, you can't say that right now. I think
you can't say that now.
The only guys you got right now are Ragnow and Hockenson.
And maybe Swift. I think Swift has shown ability. Not superstar, but teams are gonna like circle him when we play him to game plan like for him. So after that, man, it's like you have a lot of young, unproven things, and that's why I think this year is gonna be brutal. But like Tyler said, it's not about wins and losses, it's about development. It's about, okay, if a guy gets beat first play, hopefully the second or third play or the next week or so, he corrects that and doesn't get beat. It's about learning from your mistakes. If you miss a tackle first few games, hopefully the next like five or six games, you're tackling guys. That's what I want to see. I want to see development. If you're getting beat, like Sewell's getting beat the first five, six games, okay, how you look the next like weeks, the next like towards the end of the year. I want to see like development across the year. It doesn't have to be like crazy. It could be slow development. I just want to see it. We saw in the preseason too. We saw Paulo and Skipper struggle really bad, and then they were getting better as the preseason went on.
Paulo.
Yeah, you know what I'm doing right now? That Oprah gift. The ones just looking
around. Oh, like this? I mean, it's like Tyler's like it's true, bro. Like, you saw development as the preseason went on. You really did.
I'll give you Skipper.
Dan Skipper definitely bounced back because that first game was awful.
I'll leave it at Dan Skipper.
That first game was awful.
I mean, even then, Tim Boyle, right? Like, Tim Boyle like struggled really bad the last game. He actually like he played a long drive with like a broken finger or whatever's wrong with his. I don't know what's wrong with his. Yeah, so like, and he balled out. Like, he looked, I wouldn't say balled out, but he looked better. So even David Blau, he looked better too, other than that pick. So you see improvement as the preseason went on. Hopefully you see that it's going to the season as well.
Tim Boyle, to be honest, man, he didn't look, I mean, he, all right, if you're judging by like what he did, his first couple of games, it was bad. If you're just judging like what he did, but I don't think he had the time to do what he wanted to do. Because, like, the first game, you watch the first game, he was getting killed.
Yeah.
That O-line did him no justice. Like,
second game, he was just terrible, though.
The second game, he was off on some of his throws. But, again, like, that was the game when Sewell was getting beat by... Wait, is that the second game he was getting beat by...
Rousseau.
No, he was... Right? They played the Steelers, and he was seeing
Melvin Ingram.
So he was getting crushed by, like, Melvin Ingram was just, you call a hike, and he was in the backfield.
Yeah. I mean,
so it was tough. It was tough. He didn't have a lot of time. In the third game, I guess he had, he was playing against more of the second, a mixture of the second and third team. And he started and he had more time in the pocket, so he looked better that game. So I still don't know what to think of Tim Boyle.
Oh, he's out for a
still.
While anyway.
He's out for a while anyway. But like, judging those three preseason games, I still don't know what to expect from him.
I mean, he's here on a 1 year deal, so it's not like he's here for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just want to see improvement. Like, I just mentioned like a few players. I want to see those guys. Like, even Okuda, he got beat one play. Next play, he's locking down Juju Smith-Schuster, right? You want to see that. Like, bounce back. Don't look back on your mistakes. Forget about your mistakes, because that's how football is. If you think about your mistakes when you play, you're going to make more mistakes. You have to forget about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Is that a wrap, guys?
Yeah, it's a wrap, I think.
That is a wrap, man.
All right. That was a fun episode, boys. We're all the way into 12:23 a.m. right now. That's a grinder right there. That's a grinded out episode. But we do it for you, boys. We enjoy it. So no complaints at all from us. At least no complaints from me. I don't know if you guys complain. You might complain afterwards.
we love our listeners, man. We'll provide you guys the best content. We try, at least.
Yeah, it's fun, man. We just love talking football. I like to call it like a barbershop talk. Like, more insightful barbershop talk. Like, you know, sometimes you hear some bullshit shit in the barbershop. We'll spew some bullshit on that. I'm not going to lie, but we're like barbershop talk. We're more insightful, I like to say. Like, right. We're like a cracked out barbershop.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. I saw about the space one time. I was like, yeah, I'm going to end that out.
No, that's staying there, so it's all good.
Oh, you made that funny face, like, oh shit.
He's like, oh, I'm cutting Tyler's ass from the mic. No, but like, it's just fun, man, you know, just talking football, going back and forth. Like, how many people could you talk about, like, the inside and out with the Lions roster? Like, how many people you talk about AJ Parker with or Jerry Jacobs with? Like, you can't just talk with them about that many players with, like, your friends. Like, they're like, who the fuck is Jerry Jacobs?
I can't do it at all. I live in South Florida, so if I talk about AJ
You can't do that in Detroit.
I can only bring up a certain amount of players with people down here. Everybody else, they have no idea who they are.
Okay, like, not even like a guy like that, like Derek Barnes. You can't even mention Derek Barnes to like a casual fan, you know? It's just like,
yeah, like, who?
Yeah, what? it's like I enjoy it. Like, we get to just talk football. We talk about all the inside out. We're talking about practice squad players. Like, I love it, man. I love it. But hope you guys all love it as much as we do, and hope you guys enjoy it as much as we do. And if you guys do, you know, it's a perfect time just to ask for a nice little quick 5-star review. You know, it's never a bad time to ask for a 5-star review. So if you guys enjoy it, it always helps out much, you know, if you could leave a 5-star review. But with that, I'm out, guys, and we might be back soon because this Lions roster ain't done yet.
Oh. All right, guys, I'm out. Peace.
All right, y'all, it's your boy Malcolm, and I am out. Peace. Thank you.